If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, I'm a little confused about all the rain. Has the rain moved out or are we still getting more rain? Because, well, man, it was like a downpour this morning for
it
sure.
It moved through, and I don't know if there's another one behind it. Let me check. This could take
always,
a minute.
You know, when I worked with folks at WTMJ in Milwaukee, the meteorologists there, they had a great team. I was always told I was not allowed to interpret the radar because I'm not a professional meteorologist. However,
like Sue Thomas.
I'm going to take a stab at it here, and it looks like all the rain has kind of passed us, right?
Yeah, the whole thing kind of went through, and that's pretty much gone.
Oh, there it is. See, I was under the impression that it was going to rain like all day. And it really didn't do that, did it?
It was like one big
stretch. I think Dave was saying that yesterday. It would be a short time in the morning.
Yeah. Well, he was right about that, wasn't it? I mean, it was really coming down. I texted you, Fred. It was monsoon-like.
And then like 30 minutes later, it was hitting downtown
really
hard.
Right. So now we have 22 for the overnight low tonight. So that's not too good. I don't like that very
much. Yeah, but Saturday. Look at Saturday.
56 degrees.
Yes. And then next week, we're in the 60s.
I like it. Oh, 60s. Look, it says Christmas Day. Now we're up to 71.
What?
That's on the app, though. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
but, okay,
it says 70 on Friday, the day after Christmas. Why is that awful? I think that's great.
Christmas is the one day a year where I'm okay with cold weather and snow.
I'd rather get it.
We've had all this cold weather in December, and it's going to warm up for the 3 days around Christmas.
Yeah.
Why can't we have it the other way around, where it's nice and warm, and then you get cold Christmas weather at Christmas time?
Okay, fair enough. However, what would you rather have? Like, if it's some sort of in-between weather, you want a white Christmas, you want snow, you want something holiday-esque.
Yes.
But if we're just sitting at 35 and cloudy, why not have 70 and sunny?
I totally agree with that.
Going with that one for sure. But
71?
Yeah, that's nuts, isn't it?
And then 70 on Friday. We'll see what really happens.
I know. Well, that's the thing. These things change.
It's pretty far out.
I'm always the person who makes the mistake. And here's what usually the guidance is. Like, if I'm going on a trip somewhere or if it's like deer hunting a few weeks ago, 10 days out, I'm looking at that app, right?
Right.
And so if 10 days out or even a week out, it says no rain, it's going to rain. I probably can almost guarantee you that
my son,
the opposite happens, too.
My son, Shane, just got here from New York, and he's like, Dad, I brought all these heavy sweatshirts and sweaters because I thought it was going to be really cold here.
Yeah.
He says, I'm sweating.
That's a good point.
Good man. Probably needs to check the weather app before leaving.
Or maybe Santa needs to bring him some summer clothes
for Christmas, right? You could change that up.
It was weird, though, because when my family, you know, my son and the girlfriend and the grandson come in from Houston, we would not typically have to warn them to bring, you know, really warm clothes around Thanksgiving. Now, they can't make it in for Christmas, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's a little bit upside down. We're used to that. Look, I remember back in the 80s, I was fishing one time on Christmas Day. It was so warm. So
that's bizarre.
I'm not sure I caught anything on that Christmas, but I do remember fishing in December, like in Missouri. I used to fish in December in Milwaukee on Lake Michigan when it was freezing cold because we'd go by this little power plant in Brown Deer, Wisconsin. I think it was in Brown Deer. No, that's not right. That was where I used to live.
It doesn't matter.
But my mind has to get it straight.
That's fair.
But anyway, there's this power plant. It kept the water warmer. So we'd go out there, me and this friend of mine, and we catch these big lake trout.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Oh, my God, it was a lot of fun. You know what? Let me make a segue here that's uncomfortable. You know what wasn't a lot of fun was the president's speech last night. Now, maybe I'm the outlier here. I don't really know. We're going to have several guests on here this afternoon. We can ask them a little bit. Jennings is coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, so that's going to be fun, one more visit with him. He's a best-selling author now, you know, in the New York Times bestseller list, A Revolution of Common Sense, but we'll visit with him in the 5 o'clock hour. Sue, did you dabble in watching the speech last night?
I did not.
Fred and I were texting. Fred, you missed it as well,
I missed
right?
it, too.
Yeah.
It was short.
Here's what I'd say. I can't lie here. I thought it was awful.
What was wrong with it?
Well, what was wrong with it was exactly what I thought was going to be wrong with it. And I tried to explain this the last couple of days. What happens is you have two, maybe you have three different types of Trump when it comes to the speeches and the addresses and the rallies. You have teleprompter Trump, which is just really boring. Like, he can be in an event and then he's got to read all the proper stuff, or maybe he's in the Oval Office and it's just boring as hell, right? And then there's teleprompter and weaving Trump. And now that Trump is where he's got the stuff on the teleprompter, but he goes off script because he has the time and the ability to do it. And that's what happened in Pennsylvania, you know, a couple of weeks ago, because that was very scripted, but you wouldn't know it because it took 90 minutes. I think that speech would have been 18 minutes, like last night, had he not done all the weaving. So last night, he's got 18 minutes. He knows that people are going to be pissed off like me because they can't watch the Survivor finale. And he's just looking into the camera. He's very angry and he's just shouting. Now, I heard from Trump supporters last night, many of them who were very staunchly, you know, behind the president for the past 10 years saying, what is he doing right now? And I didn't get it. I really didn't understand. I know that the message was supposed to be about the economy and taking credit for all these things. Here's what it sounded like.
11 months ago, I inherited a mess and I'm fixing it. We're bringing our economy back from the brink of ruin. The last administration and their ally Congress looted our treasury for trillions of dollars, driving up prices and everything at levels never seen before. I am bringing those high prices down and bringing them down very fast. We're poised for an economic boom the likes of which the world has never seen.
So it doesn't sound that bad right there, but I'm just telling you the imaging of it. I don't know how many people watched it. I'll give you an example of somebody that sent me a message that, again, is pretty staunch Republican. And it was like, I can't. Trump is killing me already. He's done so many great things, and yet, ugh. He took over from Biden, and blah, blah, blah. He was horrible, and I've inherited this horrible mess, blah, blah, blah. I just want to tell him, will you just shut the F up and just say, hey, we're making America better again. We voted for the blanking guy, and we're already out. His opening two statements, he lost most of the people. So those are Trump supporters, right? Now, I don't know if that's going to have any staying power, but ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you that this is risky, because the reason that a lot of us chose this president a little more than a year ago is because we were trying to save the damn country, right? And saving the damn country is still on the line, because if the Democrats have control in a year, if we're about to usher in Hakeem Jeffries as the Speaker of the House, we are doomed. We are doomed with a capital D in this country. So I worry about the effects that this is going to have. And when you kind of combine it with the Susie Wiles piece this week, I'm a little confused today, even more confused perhaps on that than I was earlier. Because look, these things don't happen accidentally, right? They knew that they were going to do the posing of the pictures in the Oval Office and some of this other stuff. And then, you know, there's all these criticisms that come out. I don't think it was a complete hit piece, but I do think things were taken out of context. And, you know, that's problematic for the White House, because I told you this last night, Fred. I drove home and that's all they were talking about on CNN, right? It was still, Laura was talking about Brown University and some of the other stuff. And they were all about Trump and, you know, how this is devastating chaos. Look at this White House, blah, blah, blah. And then there's the, now I'm going to be honest with you on this one here. I don't know whether to laugh at this one or to cry or what to say, because some of the stuff that he does, I just think is damn funny. All right. And it is. You've heard, right. But it's also, you've heard about the plaques.
Oh, no.
Do you not know the plaques?
No.
Do you not know the plaque story?
The plaques.
Okay. All right. So. I didn't know about it until last night. If you go through the White House, under the portraits of the former U.S. presidents, Donald Trump himself, in some cases, has rewritten the script on the president. So the text includes a series of criticisms about past leaders and, you know, really focuses more on Trump. Carolyn Leavitt said the plaques are eloquently written, descriptions of each president and the legacy they left behind. So the Biden plaque, I'm not going to say that this is inaccurate, is represented by a photo of an auto pen.
Okay, I have heard of these. I mean,
underneath it, it says Biden took office in January 2021 as a result of the most corrupt election ever seen in the U.S. And this kind of goes on and on for a lot of different figures. So I don't know what to think. You know, it's one of those things, again, it gives people an opportunity to say this guy's losing it and he's crazy. On the plaque stuff, I kind of think it's relatively funny, but the word presidential, you know, comes up a lot. I used to use that word 10 years a lot. We're way past presidential, right? We really are. I'm looking at my, let me look at my, my Acorns account this morning, because then I'm going to turn myself around on the president. Let's see here. How's the stock market doing today? It's doing quite well, I think, today, which is good. And that's what people are doing. Somebody told me last night, I just keep saying over and over, 401k, 401k, 401k. And that's not a bad strategy. Okay, a couple other things I want to get to before we get to Congressman Jason Smith. William Kelly, who is a great independent news reporter in Chicago. Some thoughts on Brandon Johnson. And Ethan, since you're in here, let me remind you, can you, I don't think I told you this, can you put the Brandon Johnson cuts in that we had from the last couple of days? I'll need that for when William's on. One of the really good stories today, and this reflects on the White House, is the inflation numbers. And inflation is still occurring, just to be clear, but it's happening at a much slower pace. So they've significantly, and it'll be interesting to see the narrative in the legacy media on this, because you can't claim that this isn't something that they promised and that they've really delivered on. So we'll get into that. The president today, and I support this because I'm a libertarian conservative and because my wife works in the industry, he declassified marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug to Schedule 3. It was something that was a long time in the making. I thought that President Biden would do it. There are good medical reasons to do this, and I will explain that as we move along this afternoon. The more conservative wing of the Republicans don't like it very much, but they're wrong on that issue. He also signed something when it comes to gender care, which is interesting, and that certainly plays well here because of Wash U and Children's Hospital. And then there's some Mizzou news today, and I wasn't really shocked or upset about this, but Bo Prabula, who, you know, so when Mizzou was looking for a quarterback last year, Brady Cook has an amazing year. You got a couple of names that were at the top of the list, and Ethan, you can kind of, you know, jump in here with your opinion as well. Mendoza, the guy who just won the Heisman Trophy, he was on Mizzou's list, but he went to Indiana. Bo Prabula, I loved the choice because I thought he was dual threat. I thought he could move a little bit, and he had a pretty good arm, and the passing game would be effective. It didn't really meet expectations, but he has entered the portal. So he's gone. That means he will not be in the bowl game, the Gator Bowl, in a couple of weeks. That will go to Matt Zollers, who kind of had to fill in when Prabula was sick. Not sick, but injured. I don't know that there's, you know, if you go and you poll Mizzou Nation and the people that are, you know, dialed in, they're not super upset about it. But then the question, Ethan, remains, do you go back to the portal? Because you're paying this guy a fair amount of money, I think like $2 million, if I'm not mistaken. So he's out. Do you bring another quarterback in, or do you put your trust in Matt Zollers? Some of that's going to maybe be dependent on two things. The new offensive coordinator that you're going to have to hire, because Kirby Moore has gone to
Washington State.
And, you know, that could have an effect on who the offensive coordinator is. And then, however, Zollers does in the Gator Bowl as well, right?
I have to imagine that, you know, Zollers is very young. I don't think he's going anywhere. It would not surprise me if he was here throughout the entirety of his college career. I imagine that they're going to try and bring someone in. At worst, you have healthy competition,
right,
which is what they planned for this year going into the year with Sam Horn
and Bo Prabula,
but he got hurt, right, so it didn't end up going the way they expected it to. I'd be surprised if they just straight up go with Matt Zollers as the guy throughout, you know, the entire offseason. The weird thing with Bo Prabula is that I don't think he's going to be able to go anywhere better than Mizzou. I think this was probably a situation where either he saw the writing on the wall in that, you know,
I think it's mutually agreed upon.
He was probably, you know, there was someone at least on his toes in Matt Zollers, or they were going to be looking to go in other directions because it was a little bit of a disappointing season.
Yeah, and we're going to have to see who they hire, and he's got money. You know, Drink's got money to hire a good OC, so I think that might play into it. But that was one of the big sports stories of the day. We'll get Frank's thoughts on that tomorrow. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. It will be the last one of 2025. A great panel. Jane will be here. Former Senator Lamping and former Senator Jeff Smith all on the panel. Paul Hall with entertainment recommendations. Frank Cusimano. Greg Coase is going to be here. I was raving about his documentary that is called Song Sung Blue. And the feature version of that with Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson opens on Christmas Day. It's about a Neil Diamond tribute act in Milwaukee. I was familiar with them when I was up there, and the documentary is amazing, and Greg will share his story. Just Greg's story in and of itself could be a movie or a documentary, so that's coming up tomorrow night here on 97.1 FM Talk. Let's see here. What else was I going to say? We got Jennings coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. One more visit with him before the end of the year. And then, oh, I almost buried the lead on something today. And I don't know if you've heard this, Sue. This was big news this morning. Sam Page has announced that he will not run for re-election.
I did hear that and actually said, woo,
yeah, that's
out loud.
That's great news. It really is. So Jane's going to weigh in on that and some other things to sort of preview the roundtable tomorrow. That's coming up at 5:32, plus an audio cut of the...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Well, we have a situation in Washington where Congress is still trying to wrap up some business, some stuff related to the Affordable Care Act and the ACAs and those subsidies. We, this afternoon, are going to visit with Congressman Jason Smith of Missouri's 8th District. He's also the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, and he is back on the show this afternoon and obviously had a key role in the big, beautiful bill. Jason Smith, welcome back. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mark. It's great to be with you.
You still are not a D.C., though. You guys have a little work to do before you get back here for the holidays, don't you?
That's right. I'm still in D.C. I actually just walked off the House floor. We were voting. So looking forward to coming home. And I would like what the weather is going to look like back home, so it's even better.
Not too good today. Lots of rain. But, yeah, we get some unseasonably warm temps for Christmas week, which would be a good thing. So you say you just got off the floor. So explain to the listeners and maybe to the host here this afternoon how the year is wrapping up in the House, and kind of focus on what's going on with the ACA subsidies. Obviously, this was the big sticking point during the government shutdown. If I'm not mistaken, we're only weeks away from another potential government shutdown. So how are the ACA issues kind of resolving themselves, or not resolving themselves, but kind of moving and evolving into 2026? What would you say about that?
So as you remember, we were in a government shutdown for 43 days. And it was the counterparts, the Democrats, they were demanding that you extend the COVID era subsidies that was created in the American Rescue Plan and then extended in the Inflation Reduction Act. They expire December 31st because the Democrats set that date for them to expire. They could have made it permanent, but instead of making those subsidies permanent, they decided to make permanent these green tax provisions for their environmentalist donors. And so that is why they shut down government, if you really dive down into it. There's a process to force votes on the House floor. There's been a discharge petition that has been filed that has received the 218 votes is what you have to have, 218 signatures. And so when we return the first week back, I expect it to be on the floor.
So what, in the end, what's going to happen here? I mean, Hakeem Jeffries, they want 3-year extension on subsidies that were temporary and then temporary again because they renewed the temporary cuts. So what's the realistic outcome of this? We're told, if we believe the legacy media, look, this does affect, you know, several million people across the country, some of whom really shouldn't be getting subsidies because they make enough money. But where's the end game here that might satisfy both sides? Because obviously you have some members in the caucus who are in moderate districts, Mike Lawler amongst them, that are, you know, a little, they're concerned about some of this moving forward.
I just think that people need to understand what happens if these things expire on December 31st. If they expire on December 31st, they revert back to the original Obamacare subsidies. And that still means 93% of the people that are currently on the exchanges will still have very, very generous subsidies. What does expire and who does not receive subsidies anymore are people who make more than 400% of the federal poverty level. Right now, it's unlimited. There are households that make $600,000 a year that have their health insurance subsidized. That doesn't fly for people.
No.
And then not to mention the waste, fraud, and abuse that is in the program. I called for a report 18 months ago with Kathy Morris Rogers, the chair of Energy and Commerce, and Jim Jordan, the chair of Judiciary, for the GAO to investigate these Obamacare exchanges. And what they released a couple weeks ago to us, Mark, is crazy. 59,000 plus dead people receiving subsidies. One Social Security number alone had a more than 125 different policies attached to it. And what's even worse, the GAO, they set up fake identities, tried to enroll in all these accounts, and 100% of their attempted fake fraudulent enrollments were approved. And a year later, 90% were still being subsidized. So these insurance companies were being subsidized. What we're talking about is not money that goes to the individual. It's money that goes to big insurance companies that have record profits.
Yeah, I look that GAO report, and people can access it at GAO.gov. It's quite something. And I think you would agree that it really didn't get any attention when it came out a couple of weeks ago.
It didn't. I've been trying to make sure that people see what was in it. We always knew there was waste, fraud, and abuse, but boy, it is even worse than I could have ever imagined.
Well, I'm confused because I was told on great authority earlier this year that there's no waste, fraud, and abuse in government. And then you go up to, you know, little Mogadishu, Minneapolis, and you see the billions of dollars of fraud that went with the Somalis. I mean, that's stunning in of itself. But you know what? Why should we be surprised? This stuff is happening all over the place. The other side's telling us, there's no waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, it's everywhere. It really is.
You have to be on the lookout 24/7, 365 days a year because, you know, of course, government is fairly large. And whenever something is large and government is involved, it's not efficient. So you got to find ways to make sure it's efficient, but also to root out all of the waste, fraud, and abuse. And it's in all areas. We can always do a better job.
Congressman Jason Smith is with us. He, of course, is the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. Let me ask you about the rural farmers in your district and across Missouri. I talked with Blake Hurst on the other side of the state. He's, a soybean farmer in Tarkio and has spoken out about some of this stuff. And the farmers have supported President Trump and Republicans, but there are concerns, you know, with these commodity prices and the unequal playing field. I know that this bill was passed that's supposed to deliver support to farm families across the country. But I can tell you just from the discussions that I have, they're still a little nervous here about what's going on. And they're having a hard time making ends meet.
Well, let's think about this. The farm economy is in a very bad place. I represent the most diversified ag district outside the state of California in southeast Missouri. We have everything from soybeans, corn, cotton, rice, you name it. They are struggling. And that is in fact why in the Big Beautiful Bill, we put 70 to 80% of the farm bill in it, because the reference prices for commodities hadn't been changed in decades. And we increase it. However, that doesn't take an effect until next fall. That doesn't do any help for the people right now that's facing record low commodity prices. The commodity prices for some things like corn and soybeans is at the same price it was 30 years ago. But you know what? Their input costs aren't at the same price.
Way higher.
Fertilizer's up,
right.
Gasoline, you name it. And so the $12 billion that the president just announced in the last week is going to help bridge. It's not a full answer, but it's a step. Because if we can't provide, if we can't make sure that we have farmers in our country that can be viable, where are we going to get our food? That's the important part. And it is a tough time. So I would agree with Blake. When I travel my district, this is all that I hear about right now.
Yeah. Let me ask you about 2026, because a lot of people have already pivoted to the midterm elections. You still, I mean, we have 11 months until those, but I know that that's going to dominate conversation. Someone like you who's in leadership and has been around for a while, you're one of those people that, along with a lot of members, that you fly across the country, you do fundraisers and things like that. What is the most important part of this year in making sure you secure the House with the messaging? Because there's criticism, you know, and I think this was the president addressed this last night with some good things about the economy. I didn't think it was his best moment. He's not good in that shorter window with a teleprompter. But obviously, the economy is what people are really, really latched onto when it comes to their struggles. Now, good inflation numbers today, that's great. We have some other things that are concerning. But what do you think the mission is in 26 for someone like you to make sure that people hear the messaging about the economy?
One thing is communication. We cannot communicate what Republicans, what President Trump has done. In President Trump's first 11 months in office, he's done more than what most presidents do in 8 years. And we're going to reap those benefits. When you look at next year, it is expected that Americans will face the largest refunds in history. You're talking about over $100 billion of refunds because of the Big Beautiful Bill. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime, tax relief for seniors, permanency of the tax rates, plus increasing the child tax credit, increasing the standard deduction. These are all things that's really going to have a big impact. People will have more of their paycheck that they'll actually be able to spend for themselves. And I think you'll see in the second and third quarter the economy to really take off like jet fuel. If you look at the inflation numbers today on core inflation, they were the lowest level since before the Democrats went on their $10 trillion spending spree that led to inflation going up 20 percentage points. So
That was a good number. That was encouraging. Yeah, very encouraging. I was glad to see that. It gives us a good place to maybe wrap up the year. Jason Smith, thank you so much. And we always appreciate you jumping on here. It's been an important year, and 26 is going to be as well. Have a great Christmas. Enjoy some time with the family, Jason. Thank you so much.
You too.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
I thought it was hilarious that the Washington Post editorial board actually took time to write an editorial about how bad of a mayor Brandon Johnson is in Chicago, because he's got this head tax idea where he wants businesses to pay, I think, $33 a person for all their employees because he's got such a big budget shortfall.
There is no empirical evidence that somehow the revenue that we would generate from less than 1% of the largest corporations lead to causing harm within our job growth. Their information is wrong, but it wouldn't be the first time that a publication got something that I've done wrong.
Yeah, so in other words, if you're going to charge businesses who currently don't have to pay millions of dollars in excess tax to the city of Chicago, that's not going to have any effect whatsoever on the job situation. And so a reporter dares to ask him, is this modeled after anything?
So if the head tax is such a great idea, where is it working now? Because there are... what cities? Who you turn to? Where are you looking at and saying, wow, wish we were doing what they're doing, because I can't find one?
Well, look, if you're asking me if I believe that there is a model that's better than the city of Chicago right now, I'm going to tell you there isn't. We are setting the trend.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's not what she asked.
You're setting the trend for being a crappy city. And then they're asking him, well, are there CEOs that have weighed in on this?
Any examples of CEOs or CFOs who say, I'm on board?
Well, I don't have any examples of CEOs who are not on board.
Can you give us an example of one that is?
Well, I mean, I guess we could draw the conclusion that all of them are.
I don't even know what to say. William J. Kelly is here. We call him the People's Reporter in Chicago. He's got some thoughts. William, how are you this afternoon? Merry Christmas.
How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay, but your mayor up there, oh my goodness, we've had our own issues down here, but wow, he is a piece of work, isn't he? And it sounds like there's people in this press corps in Chicago beyond you that are finally tiring of him and asking some serious questions.
Well, I think they're just getting sick and tired of looking like lapdogs, you know, compared to me, I suppose, you know. You know, and they see that I get, I go viral every time I ask Johnson a question. So I guess they, despite themselves, are deciding that it's time to start asking real questions. But you know, don't get too excited. I'm sure that you know they'll I'm sure that they won't be able to keep it up for very long. If you go to add William J. Kelly, you know, on Twitter or William J., you know, reporter WilliamJKelly.com, you'll see that, that you know, I've been going after this guy and Lightfoot, you know, the mayor before Johnson, for, you know, pretty regular. But, you know, the bottom line is this, okay? Johnson has never had a business. He's never run a business. He doesn't even pay his own water bill. He has a history of not paying his bills, I should say. And, you know, the weird thing is that, you know, in addition to being a reporter, I am a business owner in the city of Chicago. Imagine that. Emmy award-winning TV production company. I know what it's like to have employees. I know what it's like, you know, to try to run a business in the city of Chicago. Johnson hasn't done any of that. Okay. And, you know, and he's essentially what he's doing is he's his only real answer for anything is racism. That's his answer.
Well, that sounds like our former mayor, that's for sure. Tashara Jones, luckily we booted her to the curb. But yeah, that's his fallback. That's a lot of the fallback positions of these mayors in big cities, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, if you ask them about a budget, it's racist. If you tell them that, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, it's racist. You know, the real tragedy in Chicago is that businesses are leaving, not just because of the budget, but because of the violent crime. You have a situation where, I don't know if you're familiar with the case of Bethany McGee, a 26-year-old, very, you know, adorable little girl on a train, you know, very a petite little girl sitting on public transportation, and a repeat violent offender, a guy who has been arrested 70 plus times. You know, I don't know how many times you've been arrested. I don't know any.
Once. Yeah, it was once.
Once was enough.
Right,
was enough.
Exactly.
Me too.
Hey, look what I've said. I was in a holding cell for like 20 minutes when I was 19 years old, and that was enough. That taught me I never wanted to be in there again. Yes.
Nailed it. So true. God bless your brother. I knew that you know, you're the guy. So me too. I had the exact, well, anyway, so this guy apparently hasn't learned, you know, will never learn, you know, 70 plus arrests, violent repeat offender, went on a public transportation in Chicago and with gasoline or some flammable liquid and on camera poured it out over this little girl and set her on fire.
That's
awful. She's fighting for her life. And what did Mayor Johnson say? He said, it's an isolated incident. First of all, can you even imagine a more cold-hearted response to something like that?
To a brutal crime like that. Right. Yeah, there's some sensitivity.
But as if that weren't bad enough, it's just factually incorrect. On a daily basis, we have repeat violent offenders just out on the streets punching white women specifically in the face. You know, and Mayor Johnson just pretends like this is not happening. It's happening every single day. On the CTA, we had a woman in a wheelchair, pushed out of the wheelchair, raped on the platform. This isn't even third world. This is like the fall of, I don't know what, you
oh
know,
my
the
goodness.
Fall of, you know, the fall of civilization kind of stuff. And Mayor Johnson pretends that this isn't even happening. And if you ask him about it, you guessed it. You're racist.
You're racist, of course. William J. Kelly is with us this afternoon. So on the head tax thing, which is just ridiculous that I pointed out, even the Washington Post editorial board had to call out Johnson and the city of Chicago. You are reporting today that the city council is voting on something that is an alternative. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, first of all, they've been having, quote unquote, special meetings. Define special, I suppose, every single day. Nothing is getting done. There's an alternative to the alternative to the alternative to the alternative. Okay. There's going to be another meeting tomorrow. I suppose there'll be another alternative. They're talking about doing a meeting on Saturday. So they've already scheduled a meeting for Saturday, which means that apparently they've already come to the conclusion that tomorrow's alternative isn't going to work. We need, to have a budget by the end of the year. This is the, constitutional requirement, right? But Johnson is saying he's more than happy to shut down the city. It would be history, it would be a history-making, for the city.
So do you have a government shutdown in the city of Chicago, potentially?
In the city of Chicago. If you can imagine this. I mean, forgive me if I sound maybe a little perturbed. Not a lot of sleep, surrounded by idiots. And, this is what's happening.
You're doing your best. Yeah, you're doing your best. It's nutty. One other question before I let you go, just because I saw reference to this on the X formerly Twitter. What's the update on the Bears possibly moving to Arlington Heights? I saw something today that they're going to look in Indiana as well.
What? Dude, you are really doing your best to piss me off, aren't you? What is that? What are you doing?
I'm just asking questions, William. I'm sorry. That's a sore subject.
I thought we were friends. I go around, I tell everybody what a great guy you are, how much I like you. I love doing your show. And then look what you do.
Pain.
Look
what I inflict pain, right?
God bless you. But you know what? Look what you're asking the real question. So I guess I have to respect that. The Bears, the Chicago Bears, what can I tell you? We love them. We love them. We do. But now we're looking at possibly the Bears leaving Chicago. I'll tell you right now, if we had a real mayor, that conversation would be
over.
Shut down.
No, you're right about that.
If you had a Mayor Kelly, if you had Kelly as mayor, I'm telling you, the Bears wouldn't be going anywhere. We'd be, what I would do if I were mayor is I would just say, that's great. You know what? Go and take the name Chicago off of all of your merchandise now. And
be the Arlington Heights Bears. See how that works out for you.
Go for that. You do that.
By the way, I used to go to Arlington Park all the time. My mom and dad live like 5 minutes away. It's just so sad that got torn down. But that is a big piece of real estate, and that's where they're talking about maybe moving the football team to. But then again, today I heard this stuff about Indiana, which is crazy. William J. Kelly, try to get the blood pressure down. I didn't mean to rise it. You have a great Christmas, and we'll talk after the first of the year. How's that sound?
Awesome, bro. Christmas time is here.
Knocked down another present today, Sue. How about
nice
that?
Nice work.
I got, I think I'm 30% there.
Okay.
I got 70% of the work done, but I've got a few things that I've picked out. And the TV arrived down in Houston that I got. So
that's huge.
Santa brought that one a little early. I was surprised because we did that one off of Target.com, and they said it would be there yesterday. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah,
but
right.
It came today.
Oh, that's
so that's
great.
Not a bad thing at all.
I bought Bose at Schnucks. It was a sad situation because I couldn't find them when I moved them. I can't find them. So I bought a bunch of Bose at Schnucks and some wrapping paper. That's right. I purchased at the grocery store.
Really?
Isn't it
like super expensive there, though?
No, it was on sale.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right. Hey, I love this Harry Enten guy. We'll talk about this a little bit more with Scott Jennings at 5:04. But, as I've indicated, when I leave here a lot, I do this a lot more often, even at home. I'm flipping back. I have to see what's going on CNN. And they're just going crazy about not only the Susie Wiles thing, but certainly on the plaques that the president has redone at the Oval Office. That's a little indefensible to me. I mean, I do think it's funny, but I just think we should be past some of that stuff. But I guess we're never going to be past. But look, Harry Enten, the bottom line is we got polling out there that does not favor the Democrats, even though the Democrats think that they're on top of the world right now.
How are voters feeling about Democrats right now?
Yeah, I mean, Democrats in the minds of the American public are lower than the Dead Sea. What are we talking about here? Well, let's take a look. The net approval rating for Democrats in Congress, you said it, Kate Baldwin, the lowest ever. Look at this. Overall, they are 55 points underwater. Their approval rating is south of 20%. It's even worse when you look at independents. Look at this. Negative 61 points. That means that their approval rating is 61 points lower than their disapproval rating. Quinnipiac has been polling this question for the better part of the 21st century. They have never found Democrats, at least those in Congress, in worse shape than they are right now.
So that's pretty significant, but it's not the narrative that you're going to hear with the legacy media. And you're certainly not hearing that from Chuck Schumer in the response from what happened to the speech last night. So look, there's good economic news. We got good inflation news today. The jobs numbers were a little off. The market rallied today. So there's a lot of stuff that's going pretty well out there, certainly in the economy. And they even have to sort of admit that on CNN. So did you see... I don't know if I have time to do this. I don't think I have time to do it now. So I'll save it for the next hour. But
right.
Did you see any of the video that went viral from the woman who was working at Target and she had a Charlie Kirk sweater on or shirt? So I'll play a little of this audio because there's been a response to this now as well. So this woman is doing her job at Target, just kind of minding her own business, putting things on the shelves, etc. And this woman approaches her. And she thinks that it's a good idea to record this interaction, and here's what it sounds like.
They let you wear that shirt here?
Yes. Why? Why are you taking my picture?
Why are you wearing that shirt? You're working.
It's not a red shirt. I can wear any red shirt.
So it's Charlie Kirk is being, you know, paid homage on the shirt.
It's not a plain shirt.
It doesn't have to be.
It's a Charlie Kirk shirt.
Yes. Oh, yes, I know.
Are you stupid?
No.
Why the would you wear that? You're at work at Target. That's not a Target shirt. It's not a plain red shirt. You support a racist.
It's not racist.
You support a racist.
What's interesting about that is, of all the things that you could say about Charlie Kirk, where the hell does the racism stuff come? I think she's just filling in a blank. She has no idea.
No.
But she knows that she doesn't like Charlie Kirk because she's a progressive, nut job, whacked out, guilty white woman, middle-aged white woman, right? So she berates the living crap out of that woman. I'll play more of the audio later. So now there's this stuff online trying to get her fired. She's been identified. The woman who was the victim in this poor elderly woman who's just working at Target, she's actually given an interview saying, look, I don't want anyone to lose their job over this. But this woman was pure evil.
Goodness.
And so there's two things about that. One, there's the behavior of going up to someone and berating them the way that
and
you did.
With the cursing and the whole nine yards.
So that's one part. But the second part of it is to, and look, I'm maybe the worst person to give this advice because I do things a lot without thinking, and my bosses would verify that, and my HR file would verify that too. But to think it's a good idea after recording that to pop that up on your social media so everyone can see that you picked on a little old lady.
Yeah.
And again, then the third part of it is the racism claim. In all the things that I've heard people say about Charlie Kirk, well, he's bigoted, I don't know about the racism. That doesn't even fit, so I don't even think she knows what she's talking about. Do I want her to lose her job? I don't think so, but there's consequences for your actions.
Get more at 971talk.com. If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.